Let's go to Matthew 13. And if I had a title, I thought, I'm not very good at titles.
But anyway, today when I was seeking the Lord, it seemed like I thought, well, Lord, what's my title?
And I just have to say growing up. So let's look at Matthew 13, 31 and 32. You know, I love the words of Jesus. I love that. And Brother Keith Morey always says, red letters are always right. So, and they are. Those are the words that came from our Master. The whole Bible is. It was all inspired by God. But I love the red letters. But in Matthew 13, 31 and 32, Jesus is talking. And he says, and there another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in a field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and it becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And you know, Sunday, Pastor Randy brought out about the sycamine tree. And the wood on that tree, and if any of us had sparkling gems, he gave us the date. And I looked that up because that was very intriguing to me. And that wood on a sycamine tree is Rick Renner brings out that it is used to build caskets. And, you know, it's associated with death. And that fruit on that sycamine tree is very bitter. Very bitter. And you know, but when Jesus used that parable about the sycamine tree, and it was in reference to being bitter, getting hard in your heart, not being tender. You know, I've gone through times where I just wondered, well, what happened in my life? All of a sudden, it wasn't all of a sudden, but to me, it seemed like it was all of a sudden. I'm just in this place that I don't like. Well, thank God for the Word. Amen. It'll quicken you. It'll get you right back on track. So what I want to, and you'll see as I go along, but I want to talk to us just a little tonight about this mustard seed faith. And you know, the Bible tells us that mustard seed was the very tiniest of all seeds. And so we'll go through that, but in Matthew 17, let's look at another scriptures that Jesus talked about this mustard seed. Okay. Jesus said unto them, because the disciples, the Bible says in the King James, it talks about a lunatic child that was brought to Jesus. And he was throwing himself in the fire. And they brought him to the disciples, and the disciples could not cast him out. And so they brought that child to Jesus. And they told him, well, your disciples couldn't do anything to help us. And Jesus said, he didn't say, well, he didn't make excuses for anything. It was just the truth. He told them that they were faithless and a perverse generation, and that they were always looking for a sign. But Jesus was not happy with his disciples because they had walked with the Master. They had seen these situations, and they had seen Jesus take care of these situations. So therefore, they should have been able to have taken care of that situation, but they weren't. So Jesus, he rebuked the devil,
And he got that child set free. But he went on, and the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "Why? Why couldn't we do that?" And he said, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now we're talking about a mustard seed, a tiny little mustard seed. And Jesus likens prayer and believing God to a seed. And we know everything in the kingdom of God has to deal with a seed. Now we're going to look at Luke 13. And I'm going through these scriptures to build a foundation. You know what? The word never returns void. So therefore, you know, we all look at our inadequacies and we think, oh, you know, but you have to even put your own self out of the way. And you have to say that if I stand up here for this few minutes and I give you the word of God, then the word of God is responsible for the results. I'm not responsible for the results. All I'm responsible for is to bring forth the word of God. Glory to God. So, let's see. 13. Where am I at, Billy? 13. And Amplified. Let me read it out for here. Then he said, this led him to say, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? 19. It is like a mustard seed, which a man took, put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree. And the birds of the air nested in its branches. Sounds just like the other scripture we read, doesn't it? But I want to tell you something. The kingdom of God is within us. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the kingdom of God moves inside your heart. You may not feel like it. You may not look like it. And we may not always act like it. But God lives in you. You know, Smith Wigglesworth would get up every morning and he would look in the mirror and he would say, "Smith, the word of God lives in you. You're a man of God. You're going to go forth and do signs and wonders and miracles." And he put that in him so much, not puffing himself up, but the word of God. And he was a mighty, mighty apostle of God. Just think, we still talk of him after all these years. And he would have a little, that he would always say, he never prayed long. He would pray for about 15 minutes. Then he'd take his little New Testament out of his shirt pocket and he'd read the word for 15 minutes. Then after he read the word, he'd pray for 15 minutes. This was his daily routine all day long. And you see what the word of God produces? It produces power. It produces more than just for you. Glory to God. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, I know they're very familiar scriptures, but you know what? The Word of God is always alive. Anytime we look at a scripture or we look at the Word of God and we have the attitude, I've heard that before. How many times is they going to talk about that? Well, you know what? We're not right if we do that, because we should be looking at this word with an expectant heart, saying, I'm going to get something out of this word. I'm going to see this in a new light. I'm going to see this in the way God wants me to see it. And he's talking about us, Christians, born-again believers. He says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, and we're in Christ. Hallelujah. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us, born again people, have received the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? It's telling the world that God loves them, that he sent a Savior to die on that cross, and he's not holding or imputing their sins against them. If he will just accept him and live and do for him and realize who you are in Christ. I'm telling you, when I was born again, I loved God with all my heart. And I mean, I was born again as a child, but I never lived for the Lord. And then when I gave my heart back to the Lord, I'm telling you, I haven't wanted anything else since that day. But I was so spiritually ignorant. I didn't know. We didn't have teachers that taught the word back then. We didn't have no, quote, word churches. And when we got a hold of the uncompromising word of God, I'm telling you, it turned me inside out, upside down in every way. And that's all I have desired since, is to know, what has God got to say to me? Who am I? And I was so, so intimidated by life. That it was, I had a little young preacher guy, full of the word, and he said to me, he said, "Patsy, will you do something for me?" And I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" Because even back then, and Justine knows, she's here, she's been with me all through these years, but if I'm the type of person, if I give you my word, I will do it. Now, sometimes I won't tell you I'm going to do it, but if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do everything in my power to do it. And so when he said to me, he said, "Patsy, I want you to write down on a card that the old Patsy's dead, the new Patsy's strong. Patsy, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." He said, "And I want you to look in the mirror and say that to yourself 5 times every morning." Okay. I never knew. Have you ever talked to yourself in the mirror? That's the hardest thing in the world I ever did. I'd look in that mirror and I'd tell myself, "Patsy, the old Patsy's dead. The new Patsy's strong. Patsy, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." I mean, I didn't no more believe that than a man in the moon. But I kept saying it. I had given him my word, and I kept saying it, and I kept saying it, and things would happen, and I'd be hurt, or things would make me mad, or just things would just, but I'd do it first thing in the morning. And I did that, and I'm telling you what, there was a day that the word of God absolutely exploded inside of me. I mean, it exploded. And no longer I could look in that mirror and I felt like a giant. I could tell myself, "Patsy, the old Patsy's dead. The new Patsy's strong. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." Hallelujah. And you know what? That's just as real to me today as it was all those years ago. I am strong in the Lord. I know I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that. Why do I know that? Because I'm all puffed up and think I'm something else? No, because I know that that's what the Word of Almighty God says, and I choose to believe it. I don't care how weak I feel. I don't care how discouraged things might try to make me. I still know I'm going to conquer it. Amen. Glory to God. In Him. In Him. Glory to God. So we know here in Luke 10:9, Jesus was sending out the 70. He was getting them ready. He knew he was going to leave this earth. In 10 and 9, let me see. Billy, have you got it up there? Okay. And Jesus told them, and heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God, when you're born again, has come near you. And everything that the kingdom of God produces lives inside of us. Glory to God. You got healing issues. You got financial issues. You got hurt, discouragement issues. God's got the answer. But it's faith in Him. Faith in His Word. Not faith in me, but faith in Him. And in Mark 10 and 15, let's read the Amplified Bible. Nat, Billy. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive and accept and welcome the kingdom of God like a little child does positively shall not enter it at all. I love children. I love little children. They are so honest and they are so precious and they are so bold. And they just, as a mother, they can just really surprise you with things they say. So you have to be careful what you say because they will tell off on you. But you know what? Jesus loved that. He loved little children. He told us that we must become like a little child. Not, oh, I'm grown now. I can do my own thing. No, a little child, they just run to their mama and they run to their daddy and they just, whatever it is, if they hurt themselves or somebody was ugly to them, they're going to run to daddy and or mama, and they're going to tell them all about it. You know why? Because they expect mama and daddy to fix it. Glory to God. Well, you know what? We're the same way as children of God. We should be running to our daddy God, expecting Him to fix it. Glory to God. And you know what? He will. If you will trust Him, you know, I think sometimes we get so hung up on faith. Oh, believe me, I love faith. But faith is simply trust in your Father to do what He said He would do. Glory to God. In Mark 4 and 30, Jesus spoke a parable. He spoke in parables. Let's see, Billy, what does that say? Then He said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? With what parable shall we picture it? Jesus, all through the Gospels, spoke in parables. And you know, what is a parable? It's an illustration that teaches in a story or extended figure of speech. It tells us something in a story. And Jesus spoke in parables. Why did Jesus speak in parables? He told us the kingdom of God is a mystery. And the devil just does not have enough sense to understand what a parable means. But Jesus would speak in parables. And He said it's for us to know the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God in heaven is when we get there. The kingdom of God is God ruling and abiding and living inside of us. The body of Christ. Jesus shed His blood for this precious body. That's how much He loves you. And you must see all that Jesus did for you individually. It's easy for me to see Him doing it for Justine. I know He'll do it for her. I know He loves her. I know she loves Him. But why do I get hung up when it's about me? Because I need to stick my nose in the book and speak it just like I did in those first days of speaking the word in that mirror to myself. There is something so powerful about looking into a mirror and talking to yourself. Now, if anybody was to come into your house that didn't know anything and they see you in there talking to yourself in a mirror, they're going to question that a little bit. That's why you do it in the privacy of your home. You know, where nobody can hear you right now. Because then one day, when it grows up inside of you, and it gets so powerful in you, you don't care who hears it. It doesn't make you one bit of difference. Because you know that God said it, you believe it, He's gonna do it, and that's all that really matters. Because I trust Him. He's a good Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Okay, Billy, let's see, Matthew 13. I was just going to look these scriptures up, and I'm just letting Billy do all the work for me. Praise God. Thank you, Billy. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. When you get born again, you have the ability to hear. You have the ability to see into another realm, to see into the God realm, to see into the possibilities of God. There's nothing impossible with God. But we have to hook up with Him, because it's not God just working. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father with God, and God's not on this earth anymore. We're the church. We're His people. And if there's going to be anything executed in this earth, it's going to be up to you and me. Glory to God. Okay, now. Let's look at... Where am I at? Let's see. Let's go to Mark 4. Yeah, Mark 4:30. Yeah, Billy, let's see, where am I at? Yes. Okay, now then, we want to go back to this parable that Jesus talked about in Mark. We looked at it in Matthew. We looked at it, some of it in Luke. But this is where I want to just wrap this up. But in Mark 4:30, then he said to, let me get over there. I got to get over in my Bible. I brought my Bible that I've had since about 30 years old. And it's because this parable came so alive in my heart. And I like to look at my notes that I wrote all those years ago. It's like a friend. It is a friend. Mark 4. Y'all bear with me. I apologize. There we go. It's all marked up. Glory to God. And in verse 30, Jesus says, Mark 4:30, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? Okay, Jesus said, Jesus told him, how are you going to liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall you compare it? Jesus always used natural terms to describe spiritual things. And he said, it is like a grain of a mustard seed. And that mustard seed is representative of our faith, which when it is sown in the earth, and when in that word earth, it's talking about the ground of our heart. Ground is the heart of man. So when we sow that seed of the Word of God in our heart, when you first begin, just like with me, when I first began to put that Word in my heart, I didn't really believe it. I wanted to, but my old head, you know, your head will get you in a lot of trouble, because your head will be quick to tell you, I know that. I've read that. I've read that 10 times, and I know that. I want to tell you something. With the Bible, you don't know it until it becomes revelation to you personally. Until it becomes yours personal. Not what
I can't live off of Justine's faith. She can't live off of mine. It has to become a personal thing. And the devil, E.W. Kenyon's in his writings, I love E.W. Kenyon, but he says this. He said, your head, your will, your emotions, those five senses, they are the worst enemy that we as a Christian have. Because they will try to tell us every time, I know that. I've heard Pastor Randy preach on that 15 times. No, you don't know it. You really don't know that you know it until it becomes alive in you, until it becomes such a part of you that you are totally, you're so convinced that you just have to tell, your head just has to move out of the way because you just know it from down in here. And how can you recognize when it's down in here? It's going to come out of your mouth. You know, before when I lived in the world and if I hit my finger on something, I'm sad to say some of the things that came out of my mouth weren't very pretty. But I know now, praise be to God, that the Word of God is in my heart and that old Patsy died. That this new Patsy's alive unto God. But we see here that the ground is the heart of man. This is what Jesus is talking about right here. He is talking about man. He is talking about getting the word in your heart, that your ground is your heart. And when you first put that word in you, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth or in the heart. It's so tiny. You begin and you say, the devil's attacking your body. And you're in pain. And you begin to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. And all that pain's so big. And you just keep saying it, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Pain screaming, your body screaming, you ain't healed. You need to go to the doctor. I'm not against doctors, by the way. I go to doctors. I don't mean that. But you just need to go. You know, you probably got some disease. Shut up. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Oh, you're not healed. Remember last night when you hurt so bad you couldn't sleep? Shut up. I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And what starts out is a tiny, tiny little voice. By his stripes, I'm healed. 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 Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my infirmities. I don't care what my body says. I don't care what it looks like. I don't even care what the doctor says. By his stripes, I'm healed. Now, I'll use wisdom. If I'm going to pay that doctor money, I'm certainly going to do my best to do what he tells me to do. You know, but what I'm saying is this word as an illustration. You get it down in your heart. And when you get it down in your heart, the word says, when it is sown. What do you do when you do a garden or when you do flowers? You plant those little bitty seeds or you plant those little bitty fragile plants. And they're sown in the ground. And they're very delicate. You have to be careful because the weather, if it's not just right, it'll kill them. And, or if it's a seed, if it's not taken care of properly, it won't come up. But what do? The Bible says in Proverbs 20, for you to guard your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart are the issues of life. Nowhere in our physical body is the issues of life. You can treat symptoms, but you don't get to the root and you don't get the healing. Because God put within man a certain amount of healing, a certain amount of resources within just this human man. But boy, when you get the supernatural on this natural, things change. Glory to God. But on that mustard seed, when he talked about that mustard seed, I just can't get over that. I looked it up. And it says that this mustard seed has a very pungent taste. But it's a powerful stimulant. And if you say back then when they would use it, if they got a scratch or something on the outside, they would rub some of that mustard seed. I don't know if they made a salve or what, but they would take it and they would apply it to the sore on the outside.
and it would heal. But if it was taken internally, it became a diuretic and a stimulant. And I thought, oh my, when you start getting in the Word and it starts becoming alive, it is a stimulant. I mean, you'll do things you never thought you'll do. You'll stop your car on the interstate and you'll be so full of the Word, you'll run around that car. I'm telling you, the Word of God, you can be in just all kinds of dire circumstances and you can speak that Word and that stimulant of God's Word just mows right over that problem. Glory to God. But that seed, it's less, like I said, it's less than all the seeds in the earth. And everything in the kingdom of God is about our heart. It's about our heart. It's about our motives. It's about the Word of God. And so we said, like I said, ground is the heart of man. You sow that word. You mutter that word. Dad Hagin used to teach us to mutter. And, you know, this description is, well, you know, he always talked about an old cow chewing its cud and how that cow would regurgitate that, but he'd just keep on chewing it, keep on chewing it. Well, that's the way you have to do with the Word. Because when you first start speaking the Word, it's kind of like that old cow. You know, you really, you don't have it down here, but as you keep muttering it to yourself, talking the word, and then the old world will try to make you sick and disgusted and, you know, all the things that the enemy brings. I don't have to tell y'all what he brings. You all know. We've all been there. But you know what? If that word keeps going down, coming up, going down, coming up, it starts coming out of our mouth. It starts believing what you're saying. Glory to God, because the Word in itself has the power to do that. You know, I put me up as the Scriptures, you know, because of my age, I don't like it, but yeah, I put my Scriptures up there in the mirror. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Well, I'm telling you what, I'm going to keep that before my eyes day and night. Every time I go in there and look in that mirror, what am I going to see? I'm renewing my strength as an eagle. I'm strong in the Lord, and I can do whatever I want to do. Glory to God. But see, the Word has the power to do that. Glory to God. So we see, but this part, when it's sown in your heart, it groweth up. It groweth up. What groweth up? The Word of God groweth up inside of us. Hallelujah. It groweth up. And when it groweth up, in John 15:3, it says, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. Have you ever felt like you just blew it? And you blew it so bad? But you go in there and you get in the Word and you make yourself read the Word. Because, you know, at this point, it's really hard to pray. I don't know about you. I'm just speaking for myself because I feel like I really messed up and I've just really gone against everything that I wanted. I did everything I didn't want to do, okay? But I get in the Word and I meditate and I speak it and I speak it. And all of a sudden, there's this cleanness that washes over me. There's this, no longer am I in condemnation and fear. I'm alive unto God. Glory to God. That's the power of this Word. You sow it in your heart. You sow it. You sow it, you say 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 it. And all of a sudden, it's going to grow up. You know, I don't want to be a baby for the rest of my life. I want to be able to help somebody else. I want to be able to be a blessing to someone. I want my life to be a blessing.
And the thing is I can't be a blessing until I grow up. And what happens when I grow up? The word says here in this parable that that seed of that little bitty mustard seed, all of a sudden it groweth up and it becomes great. It becomes greater than all of the herbs. It becomes greater. God's word becomes greater than anything I can think, imagine, see myself as. I'm now seeing myself as a woman of God, that nothing is impossible with God. I'll stay with Him until I go on the other side. I will have faith in my Father. Glory to God that He'll do what He said He'll do. Glory to God. And that, as it grows up, when it grows up, what happens? It says right here that it shoots out great branches. Great branches. What are those branches for? It says so that the fowls of the air may come and lodge there. So I can be a help to somebody. I can be a refreshing to somebody. I can bear my brother's and my sister's burdens. I can go into the prayer closet and I can take them in there with me and I can see them healed. I can see them delivered. No longer am I thinking about just me, me, me. Oh, me, me, me. I need this. My kids need this. Oh, God, what am I going to do? This has happened. This bill came in. Where's the money going to come from that? You know, on and on and on. No longer do I care about any of that because I know that I have a confidence in my Father that He's going to work it out. He's going to meet my needs. But you know what? It's not enough for me to just have my needs met. I want to help meet y'all's needs. I want to be a blessing to the world. And that's what Jesus wanted. He wanted us to become first. There's no condemnation. If we're in that little old bitty mustard seed stage, stay with it. Grow up. Stay with the Word. Don't give up on the Word. Never give up on the Word. Never give up on one scripture, one promise. Stay with the Word. If you have to walk the floor, I do it. I've had to do it in some situations. I remember many times, but I would take that Word. There might be tears rolling down my face, but I'd speak that word. And I'd say, God, you said in your word that you would meet all my needs. You'd restore my family, that my children would not die and go to hell. They were covenant children. God, I have financial needs. Lord, help me meet my needs. And He does. But then when I get my needs met, I know how to get my needs met, then I can know how to help you get your needs met. Glory to God. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. We're a church, Word of Life Family Worship Center, that God has brought the people in to be a body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. There is no big eyes, no, there are any of that. We're all connected. We're all connected. And we all should be. We should be representing ourselves to where if you have a need, you could call me. And you have enough confidence in me that I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask God to help you. Just like with little Remington Masters and that dreadful cancerous disease that's attacked that young man. Well, you know what? We as a body of believers are standing against that thing. We're believing God that that young man will live and not die and declare the works of our God. Hallelujah. So, and one other thing, I've got to close, I'm out of time, but I want you to know that when those great branches come forth, you know what comes forth out of those branches? The fruit of the Spirit, first of all. You know, even with that mustard seed, it produces a fruit. Even with that old sycamine tree, it's a bitter fruit, but it produces a fruit. Well, God has fruit that He produces. And when you get in His Word, it will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Oh, I see myself in a lot of those.
glory to God, that I need to meditate on. Yeah. And not only out of that fruit, there's going to come the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you what, we as the body of believers need the gifts of the Holy Ghost in operation in this body. And it's not just up to our pastors. I'm telling you, we ought to be seeking God. God, use me in your gifts. God, I'll cast down fear. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Use me, Father, anyway. And nobody owns those gifts. You know, you've heard people say, I own this gift. I own that gift. I operate in this gift. Well, it's as the Spirit wills. It is not in my own operation. It's as the Holy Ghost wills. He will operate with a word of wisdom. How many of you need to know something about your future? God wants to tell you some things about your future. But how many of you need a word of knowledge? What about this present situation that I'm living in? There's supernatural gifts that come from the throne of God, from the mind of God. And there's faith, the gift of faith. Did you know when you're believing God for a miracle, you need the gift of faith to come into operation. And that gift of faith will just sail you through that time. And still, I love it because the gifts work together. But the gift of faith will go in operation and it'll just bring you through to the gifts of healing, the working of miracles. Glory to God. Discerning of spirits. And folks, discernment of spirits is seeing into the realm of the spirit. It's not, well, you know, I felt like, you know, that person wasn't quite right today. You're just being nosy and critical. You know what? Because the gifts of discernment of spirits is always to help. If God shows you someone in this, something about that person in the spirit, it's there for you to help get them set free. It's not there to reveal secrets about your life. God's not a gossiper. Glory to God. So, and we need the word of knowledge. It's about the present time. What's going on in your life today? Prophecy. Tongues and interpretation of tongues equal prophecy. And the gift of prophecy is to exhort, to encourage, to lift you up. It's not to any of this stuff. Yes, there were prophets in the Old Testament that got, went and told future events. And there's still prophets of God that God uses to tell future events. But I'm going to tell you right now, most of the time, the gift of prophecy is just the simple gift to exhort, to encourage, to lift you up. And those are all the things that flow out of those branches, where the birds of the air, the people of the world, can come and find rest and refuge and help. So, I am through. God bless y'all.